Today we plan to go through Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29, the faith of Moses. That's what we'll be looking at today. Now, Hebrews is written to Jewish believers in Christ who are being tempted to return to the Jewish law as their focus. They're considering walking by works and not by faith, turning their backs on Christ, on grace, on unmerited favor, on faith in Christ. Hebrews 11 is referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. We're given example after example of exemplary faith, incredible faith, which encourages the original readers and encourages readers throughout history, and may it encourage us as well, to stand strong in genuine faith, not in works, but to continue to walk with Jesus. So the bottom line of the author of Hebrews is this: you who are thinking about going back to the Old Covenant, back to the Old Testament, take a look at the greats of the Old Covenant. They walked by faith, not by law, and they longed for the New Covenant. They longed for Jesus. They longed for the Messiah. So you who are thinking of going back, take a look at their lives. They actually were moving forward. So far in chapter 11 here, we've looked at the faith of some of the ancients, such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, their wholeheartedness, their obedience, their foresight, incredible faith. We looked at the faith of the patriarchs, Abraham, and we looked at Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph as well, and the tests that they passed, the foresight that they demonstrated, and the hope that they clung to. In today's passage, we'll be focusing on the faith of Moses, and we'll be highlighting five insights regarding faith that help us to see how faith is expressed. How is faith expressed? We'll see five ways in which it's expressed in this passage that we'll be highlighting. And so in the process, may God strengthen our faith. So please stand. We're going to pray, and then we'll read through the entire passage. It's not a long passage, and then we'll go through it verse by verse. Father, I thank you for this passage we're about to read. Strengthen our faith. Lord, strengthen our faith. We want to trust you and trust you more deeply. And so use this passage, use your word. Holy Spirit, speak to us that we would trust you even more. So I pray, Father, for Lord, for you to give us a special time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Please be seated. So five insights regarding faith. Faith insight number one: faith is expressed by boldness. In verse 23 again, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hidden 3 months by his parents. And it was interesting. They said he was a beautiful child, or they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. So note the boldness that we see here, as far as boldness specifically by Moses' parents. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, wanted all Jewish male babies killed, all of them killed. Moses' parents saw that Moses was a beautiful child, an elegant child, a fine child, as far as the meaning of beautiful. And in other words, they saw God's favor on this child. So they hid Moses for 3 months. Their faith was expressed in the form of boldness. They were willing to disobey the king, the very powerful king. He was probably the most powerful person in the world. They were unafraid because they sensed that it was the right thing to do. So important for us to be unafraid of various forces at work because we know it's the right thing to do. By faith, we too can walk in boldness. We too can do the right thing even when commanded to sin, even when commanded to do something that we cannot in good conscience do. We're to obey our authorities, our parents, when we're young, our parents, our bosses, our government. But when they command us to do something that is wrong, don't do it. We do not have to do it. Appeal if possible, but stand strong. Hold your ground. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and his friends were in training for service to the king. They were on the fast track as far as serving the king. But they could not in good conscience eat the king's food. So they appealed. They proposed a creative alternative. Give us veggies. Give us vegetables. And their appeal was accepted. And God showed them extraordinary favor in the context of that. In Daniel chapter 6, sort of the other side of the coin, a decree went forth that all prayer must be directed to the king. Daniel could not obey this command, so he continued to pray 3 times a day to Yahweh, the God of Israel. And he was thrown into the lion's den because of his faith. But God again showed wonderful favor by shutting the mouths of the lions. So, wonderful guts. Daniel and his friends, and just wonderful people of conviction and people of courage. Maybe there's an authority in your life who wants you to do something that you cannot in good conscience do. A boss who wants you to lie to a customer. Can't do it. I can do everything I can to increase sales, but I'm not going to do something that violates my conscience. I cannot do it. And so again, if there's other creative ways to increase sales without having to lie to the customer or lie up the chain as far as a status report, then I'll do what I can. So we look for creative options, but if we can't, then so be it. We pay a price sometimes for our convictions. A politician who wants to compel us to high-five homosexuality, or to high-five transgender surgery, or to high-five men who are allowed to fight against women. USA Boxing just said that that's okay, that trans men can now fight in USA Boxing against women. They can punch a girl in the face. I was like, isn't that something? Well, I can't in good conscience affirm that. I can love, I can respect, but I cannot affirm. In fact, it's just plain stupid. It's a really stupid thing to do. Faith insight number one, faith is expressed by boldness. Let's be bold. Let's be bold. Faith insight number two, faith is expressed by making right choices. By making right choices. Verses 24 to 26, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So Moses expressed his faith by making right choices, a number of choices he makes even here. 4 choices we'll highlight. Choice number one, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So instead, he chose to identify with God's people. Think of the special privileges that he gave up, the incredible privileges that he gave up, the easy life, the powerful life, the rich life. So he gave that all up. So he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choice number two, Moses chose to suffer affliction. So affliction means ill treatment with the people of God. So he's going to be ill-treated with the people of God. So he chose to endure adversity that comes with following God rather than the pleasures of Egypt, the pleasures of sin, which are passing and they are temporary. If you've ever experienced, you know, times of just really wayward living, the pleasures that you do experience, they could feel good for a very short time, but they do not satisfy in the long run. They are not long-lasting. They are here today and gone tomorrow, and they fail to bring God glory. So sin is pleasurable, but it always passes, and its price tag is always hidden as well. Choice number three that Moses makes, he chose to esteem the reproach of Christ. In other words, he valued the reproach, the disgrace, the insult that comes with identifying with God's people. To suffer with God's people is to suffer with Christ. And he makes it very clear, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Well, Jesus wasn't even there. Well, yes, he was. He just wasn't showing himself, but he was with them. And the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And then choice number four, Moses chose to look to the reward. He focused on the long-term reward of following God rather than the short-term pleasures of Egypt. Moses made right choices rooted in right priorities. We too are called to make right choices rooted in right priorities. We're to seek first the kingdom, to put him first, to put his people first, despite affliction. We're to reject the passing pleasures of sin. We're to look ahead to the reward, and in the meantime, to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. He is the author, and he's the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. So let's keep our eyes fixed upon him, gazing upon him. Faith insight number two, faith is expressed by making right choices. Faith insight number three, faith is expressed by forsaking bondage, by forsaking bondage. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So Moses left Egypt behind. That's a picture of repentance from spiritual slavery or even from some area of sin in our lives. For a saved person who's got some sin area and we need to turn away from it. Repentance boils down to turning. Turning from what? Turning from spiritual slavery or turning from some area of sin in our lives. Moses was not fearing Pharaoh's wrath. And the word for wrath is outbursts of anger or rage. That's what it all equates to. So he's not fearing Pharaoh's wrath, his outbursts of anger, or his rage. And we also need not fear. Don't let anyone manipulate you with their anger. If someone's angry and they always get what they want because they get angry, don't feed into it. Say, you can have a tantrum all you want, but I'm not going to give you what you want if it's not right to give it to you. So don't be manipulated by anger. Moses was not manipulated. We need not be either. In fact, Moses was able to handle it, to endure, because he was seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he kept his eyes on God. Instead of keeping his eyes on Pharaoh and the power that he represents, he put his eyes on God. We don't want a Pharaoh to be an idol in our lives. We want to obey. We want to do our part to respect. But we don't have to obey when they say, do something that's wrong. So if we're doing the purposes of God and someone doesn't like it, too bad. So respectfully, we decline to go along with what they're saying. So he kept his eyes on God, not on Pharaoh. The more we look at Pharaoh, the more we look at the Goliaths in our lives, the bigger they get. We need to keep our eyes on God and say, Lord, what would you have me do? How would you have me act? What would you have me say? I just follow you, and I want to serve you. Jesus commands us to follow him. That means repentance. That means leaving it all behind. We leave the old life behind. Without repentance, we may always be looking back, like Lot's wife, who could not leave Sodom behind. She just kept looking back, turned into a pillar of salt. That's a nasty thing to turn into. Without repentance, we may be stuck, not moving forward, because we're not repenting as we should, like the rich young ruler who could not part with his money. That was his idol. He couldn't do it, so he was stuck. He was never moving forward with Jesus because he couldn't part with what he had to part with. He could not repent over idolatry. Without repentance, we may feel trapped. We may feel powerless. Repentance is a key to receiving forgiveness and to being free to do what God wants us to do. Repentance is often ignored in many settings. It's like, are you saying I'm a sinner? It's like, yeah, yeah, each one of us. We have a sinful tendency, a sinful bent, and we need forgiveness. And we need constant reliance on the Lord. And continually, we're to repent of the sins of the flesh, the things in our fallen nature that still well up, and somehow distract us from following God or try to distract us. We're to repent of those things that we allow to sort of, that we camp out on their thoughts and on their desires and the things that they promise, they dangle before us, different pleasures. But we want to say no to those things. Turn from them. Repentance, confession, receiving forgiveness, and we're free to serve God. Some people don't want to leave Egypt behind. Some people, our flesh doesn't want to leave Egypt behind, and some people, they just don't want to leave Egypt behind. They may love their sin. They may love the comforts of their sin, the pleasures of their sin, or they may feel like they're unworthy of freedom. I don't want to leave Egypt behind. I'm unworthy to be free. I'm unworthy of the land of promise. So just beat on me. Just beat on me. I don't deserve any better. It's like, no, you were made by God. And you're valuable in His sight. You need to do what God wants you to do. And He wants you to walk in freedom. Or possibly you don't believe that God's powerful enough to bring you out from Egypt. He brought the people of Israel out. He had no problem doing that. The people weren't sure how it was going to take place. They were all like, oh, what's going to happen? But He was able to do it very easily. Like, let's part the Red Sea. And so He's powerful enough to bring us out from Egypt. Are we willing to go with Him? Do we have the faith, the trust, where we're willing to walk with Him? Even if that means it's like, oh no, this is a tough path. It's a path of affliction. Well, welcome to the Christian walk. Welcome to true discipleship, following the Lord. So instead, we need to wholeheartedly follow Jesus. And we'll be amazed by the power that He has to free us from bondage and how wonderful it is to walk in the freedom that He provides to us. So faith insight number three. Faith is expressed by leaving bondage behind. Number four, as far as faith insight number four. Faith is expressed by accepting God's covering, by accepting His covering. In verse 28, by faith He kept the Passover. So Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So Moses instituted and he carried out the first Passover. This had to do with the final Egyptian plague. Remember the various plagues that took place. And they got sort of more severe, and the last one was the granddaddy of them all. It was the Rose Bowl plague. It was the granddaddy of them all. And it was the plague of the firstborn, when the firstborn was to be struck down unless there's a covering. So when blood was sprinkled over the doorposts, then the destroying angel would pass over that house and not kill the firstborn. And so very essential that blood be sprinkled and that there be trust in the blood that was provided. So they put their trust in the blood, and they experienced salvation. They believed that God's judgment is real, and they took action, appropriate action. Jesus is our Passover. By faith, we trust in His blood, and by faith, we experience salvation. We believe that God's judgment is real. Sin must be paid for. In fact, our sin must be paid for. So we take action. We believe in Christ. For we as believers, it's been paid for on the cross. And for all who believe in Him, God's wrath passes over us. God's judgment passes over us. Else we, too, would be destroyed. But we're very fortunate because the wrath of God, which is poured out upon sinful humanity, we've got this protective veil, and that comes from the blood of Christ. It's like the blood over the doorpost. And it's protective, and so the destroying angel passes over us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? So God loves us, and He died for each one of us. And we who believe have been justified or declared just by His blood. We're saved from God's wrath. Saved, and we should be forever thankful for that. And the key to our salvation is not our good works. It's while we were yet sinners that He died for us. It wasn't while they had yet cleaned up their life then Jesus died for them. There's no sense of that. While they were yet sinners, they were still sinners. and yet Christ died for them so he could transform us. We still sin, but hopefully that's not what's defining us. That's not what we're practicing. It's by his blood that we have been saved, and it's by his blood that we remain close with the Lord. We continue to walk with a clear conscience by the blood of Christ, confessing our sin, repenting of it, and receiving fresh forgiveness, hopefully on a daily basis. So faith insight number 4 was, faith is expressed by accepting God's covering. Now for number 5. Faith insight number 5, faith is expressed by deliverance. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. So the children of God were delivered from the Egyptians. The Egyptians decided to pursue them. What a stupid decision. It's like God miraculously opens up the Red Sea. It's like, hey, let's go in there also. It's like, no, not a good idea. So they decide to pursue them. And their whole desire is to keep the Israelites under their control. That's what they want. They want to keep them under their control. They want free slave labor. That's what they want. But God parted the Red Sea, brought his people out, and then the sea collapsed, and the Egyptians were drowned in that. So the Israelites, they passed through, they stepped across, as by dry land, it says. But the Egyptians were drowned, they were swallowed, they were devoured, as far as the meaning of the word. That was an emphasis for this point. That was a very important point. I sort of worked that out ahead of time. It's like, okay, right at that time when we talk about the drowning of the Egyptians, drop something. And that'll be like, yeah, crash. Yeah, that was like the waves coming together. So when we come to Christ, Egypt has a way of pursuing us. Egypt wants to pursue us. If we've come to Christ, you can bet Pharaoh in his pride and Pharaoh's forces, they want to pursue us. They want to bring us back into bondage. That's what they desire. Sin and bondage try to chase us down, attempting to keep us under their control. And when someone, even practically, when someone is controlling someone else, they don't want to give up control. They don't want to lose or whatever makes them tick. It's a mindset that I have a hard time relating to. It's like if you love someone, you love them freely, without trying to control someone or manipulate them. So sin and bondage try to chase us down, attempting to keep us under their control. But God is able to deliver us. Jesus sets us free. And he wants us to walk in freedom. Incredible freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't let yourselves be burdened. So let's stand in faith, not allowing the bondage of sin to burden us again. Let's stand strong in the freedom that we have. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That was the King James Version. I just love this. The indwelling Holy Spirit is greater, he's stronger than the forces of darkness. The indwelling Holy Spirit is so much stronger, and those are the forces of darkness that are active in the world and active in our flesh, but greater is he who is in us. The indwelling Holy Spirit is much greater. We do not have to succumb to the call of the flesh. We don't have to succumb to every sinful impulse that we may have. It's like, I'm saying no. What do you mean you're saying no? I'm saying no. And tell our flesh where to go. And tell our flesh, no way, Jose. I'm not going to give in to you. And when we do stumble, when we mess up or whatever, we say, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. I repent. I turn. And I receive your forgiveness, your fresh forgiveness. Help me to say no next time. And turns out even the desires sometimes get weaker and weaker as we continue to stand strong against the call of the flesh. So faith is expressed by deliverance. Wonderful freedom that we have. Personal application. We looked at 5 faith insights. Regarding faith insight number 1, faith is expressed by boldness, like the boldness expressed by Moses' parents. If there's a strong influence in your life that's not lining up with God's word? Are you willing to stand your ground in boldness? Stand your ground. They may not like it, but stand your ground. Regarding faith insight number two, faith is expressed by making right choices. The kind of choices Moses made, choosing affliction over the pleasures, the passing pleasures of Egypt. Are there some pleasures of Egypt being dangled before you at this time, in whatever form? And you know in your heart that you need to choose the less traveled path. You need to say no to these pleasures of Egypt. Possibly a difficult path lies before you, but it's the right path. Are you willing to take the right path to say no to those pleasures of Egypt? Pleasure itself is not a bad thing. It's pleasurable to obey the Lord. But the pleasures of sin, let's stay away from them. Regarding faith insight number three, faith is expressed by forsaking bondage, by forsaking Egypt. Are you willing to forsake Egypt? Not only to say no to it, but to leave it all behind, to take action to leave it behind. Action. Regarding faith insight number four, faith is expressed by accepting God's covering. Like Moses, who accepted God's covering in the context of the first Passover. Have you accepted God's covering in the context of the ultimate Passover? Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, causing God's wrath to pass over each one of us who have come under that covering. If so, are you continuing in that acceptance, placing your continued trust for forgiveness in Christ's blood sacrifice, not in your good works? When we mess up, we do not have to do 10 good deeds to balance out the mess up. That's not how it works. We just have to come to Christ and say, Lord, I messed up. I turn. I confess. No excuses. And I receive forgiveness. And I want to start again. And he will cause us to do good deeds, not in order to be forgiven, but as a fruit of genuine forgiveness. And then regarding faith insight number five, faith is expressed by deliverance. Like the Israelites, is Egypt pursuing you in some way, trying to keep you under its control, trying to bring you back into a place of bondage? Are you in need of a Red Sea parting in your life? Because it's like, I'm up against the sea, and there's the Egyptians, the most powerful army around. What do we do? Are you willing to trust God to part the sea? Are you willing to trust him to do that? Are you willing to walk with God through the sea? That can be somewhat scary as well. Are you willing to walk with him through the sea to take the path of freedom? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, thank you for these reminders to boldly obey you. Lord, to choose to follow you no matter what. To leave bondage behind. Lord, to continually trust in your sacrifice and your wonderful forgiveness, and to walk in marvelous freedom. Help us to choose freedom. Help us to not be drawn back to a place of bondage. Help us to say no to the wiles of the enemy, who can be very crafty at times. Help us to walk in wonderful, wonderful freedom. For anyone who is yet to believe in you who may be hearing this teaching, I pray, Father, that you'd show them their bondage, their provision, or your provision for them, and the path of freedom that they can take. May he or she turn from a self-centered life to a Christ-centered life, because without you in the center, there's only thing left is us and our flesh. And so I pray, Father, help them to turn, to repent, to receive forgiveness, and to follow you wholeheartedly. A life of genuine faith, may that be what characterizes them, and the hope that comes along with that, and the freedom that comes along with that. We thank you for your wonderful gospel. It is so good, and it's so awesome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.